is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. Disaster Recovery Hour. Can you hear me? Anyway, well, I'm all ready to go. How are you guys doing? It's been a week and change. I don't know if you guys realize, but last week was a taped show. It was a live show, but it was a rerun. I was out of town on business, and my guest is a very amped up weatherman. He was a very good guy, and he'll be like many of the guys will be returning. I'm still not hearing too many good things in my headphones, guys. But anyway, there it is. There it is. That's cool. Any old who, good to be back. Got a busy show today. We're doing 2 weeks ago when we had Shelley Johnson on. She was a rep with, she worked for FEMA, still does. And we were talking about scenarios and things. And we also talked about Battalion Chief Philip Salamillo, who's from the 2nd Battalion downtown, down the end of Houston Street. He and I spoke about prevention, the tragedy of prevention. Partnering and to prevent tragedy in the city with the collaboration of first responders and hospitals and how there's been a lot of miscommunication over the years and how hospitals respond to their own emergencies inside their own buildings. And I thought it was interesting because there's a lot of things in the news lately on the international side that one of the collaterals of terrorism is to affect the hospital. So you have your casualties coming into pretty much a damaged building, and so that's one of the things that nut jobs are planning out there. And that's kind of things if you look at it, that's why the city is very proactive in getting with its local hospitals and also with contingency planning. So he's going to just give us a quick update about 10-12 minutes after the hour, and then my other guest, who I'll introduce in a little bit, he'll be at the bottom of the hour. And different man, he's been a first responder for 20 some odd years with the FDNY, but he retired. And we always talk about volunteerism and stuff like that, but there's a lot of new programs on the collegiate side that are offered for Homeland Security, and it's more, I would say, more of the associate's degree and advanced degrees for disaster preparedness and emergency management. So that's going to be interesting. Andy Weitzberg, my good buddy out there in the island, who is the president of the ACP chapter of ACP International, the Long Island branch, put me in contact with him. And he does a fantastic guy. He's a great networker, knows a lot of guys in the emergency service business, and which also always ties into the programs. How do we translate it back into the insurance world? Because That's where myself and numerous other guys in our region out there on the island, with my buddies Vinny and Kevin from their service master, and Mike and Al over here in Jersey, and I'm kind of wedged in between the guys. We have a really good attack, I guess. Am I promoting? I'm promoting. That's right. Hear me right. I'm promoting, but that's okay. As much as I want to give out good information and things for you to be due diligent and proactive and not to have issues or incidences in your home or your place of business. It does happen. If it does, then where the guys come out and help you. And that's where I was last week. I was down in Tennessee learning, expanding, trying to fill up that void between my ears to get some more intel, information, and schooling to help in the world of disasters, which fires and floods and also mold remediation and all types of this stuff. But again, the driving force behind the program is about what can we do to help you guys be better prepared. And every day I learn something new. I shouldn't say every day. Every day and a half I learn something new. And some of the guys, the first line of defense with the first responders, and also with insurance agents and brokers. These people have a lot of information. They have the technical side of it with the understanding of policies and how they're interpreted and how they're read, and how guys like myself are not out there reading between the lines of these policies, but trying to stick the insureds, as we call them, in the right direction, some of the right questions they can ask, and facilitate information, and never step over the insurance guys' toes, of women or men or women, but again, in this the heightened sensitivity and you know, disheveledness, if you will, if that's a schnicklet, it's a word I just made up. I don't know if it's real or not. Somebody, I'm sure, will text me and tell me it was or not. But the time of vulnerability, and that's the unfortunate part of when somebody has a fire and somebody has a flood in their home, whether large or small. They're all large in their world. Some people are able to say, you know what, nobody died, or my pets are okay, and we got out, and it was just things. And others, you know, there's a, you know, let's call it what it is. We live in our area where we have a fair amount of wealth, and there's valuable objects and things that are handed down from generation to generation. So that's primarily really when I was down at the academy, the Service Master Academy. One of the things we discussed is how to salvage certain items. And most of those, not all, most of those, a fair amount of those items were generally difficult items to restore, if you will. And learned a lot, and it was good. Met some good people. It's kind of a funny thing. What's really important in our area, to the South, to the Midwest, to all the way out west, or up in Seattle? Some of the guys and girls that I meet, you know, what are these areas of the country? What do they focus on? What's important to those people? It's an interesting kind of thing, and it's expanded the way I think. So, you know, I hate that, I don't hate that, but the phrase, you know, thinking outside the box, you know, but it gives you a different perspective. And again, it's about kind of educating you guys when I show up or on the show and with the guests. And that's, you know, that's how we roll here. Like I said, we'll have the chief on. If he cuts out on us quickly, he said he'll be on a call, shooting out there to do good, and so we'll have to cut him. He'll cut us off, actually, and then we'll just continue with the program, and then we'll shoot into the next guest. One of the things I did say, I saw this past week, was it was out in the Midwest about carbon monoxide, and I was reading the USA Today paper, and I, you know, it's just that never ending message, because, you know, you have Steve, you know, Lieutenant Steve Lindener, who's from the Hackensack Fire Department, and he's an integral part of the program. And, you know, we talked about, you know, carbon monoxide one week, and then it wasn't more than 2 days later that an elderly couple unfortunately had an issue. And so, again, I'm going to repeat many things over this program within the hour and within the next, I don't know how many, as long as this show goes on. And the way we get some comments, we're getting emails and things like that. The show is we're looking bright here. Things are good, and it's really thanks to you guys, which it will segue me into. Bill, tell me if I'm doing this wrong, but you can go to the homepage, which is drhradio.net. So that's on the homepage, and click on the green box. Now we do have a DRH Radio app, and I'm just learning this stuff. I just got a new phone today, the iPhone. It's you know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to the electronic stuff, but you know, it's the way of the future. And you can download that, put in your information. You can go with podcasts. It's just like going to the website, and you can look at the pod, sign up for the podcast, or you listen past shows, or just one show, or go to the comments page. One of the things that we track on the program is mobile devices and listening to program, and it was rather shocking. There's a lot of people using their phones and their laptops to listen to the program. So it's kind of cool, you know. We are a on the move kind of society, and no longer is there a 9-to-5 job. So and hence the reason I'm in the 24/7 business. You know, the phone rings, you go. You got to take care of your issues, that is, and try to help you out. I think we'll shoot to. Let me see, just say one more thing. Let's see if we got here. I got. That's interesting. So maybe we'll shoot to a commercial, Dave, and Chief will be up with us in a couple of seconds. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
For every soldier who served in Vietnam, there is a story. There are stories of suffering and strength, courage and self-sacrifice. But as time takes its toll on the surviving veterans, many of these stories could be lost forever. The Education Center at the Wall will preserve and display photos, letters, and memories of veterans so their stories and service will never be forgotten. Visit buildthecenter.org and help us build it.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour Tuesday. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m., WVNJ 1160 a.m. I was telling you at the beginning of the program, we were doing a follow-up with the Battalion Chief Philip Salamillo from downtown. Chief, you with me?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. How you making out?
Very good.
The Chief and I were talking exactly two weeks ago, partnering to prevent tragedy, and the conference was about the FDNY and other first responders. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm recapping. Being a week off from the radio, Chief, I was a little whacked out right now. But there was a lot of you had the people from London who came in. You had the chief from Joplin, because obviously Joplin with the tornadoes. You know, you and I was talking before the program about, you know, we had some time with Irene. Joplin didn't, so there was lessons learned there. So because we had a lot of traction on the comments page and things like that. So. It was this past Thursday and Friday at the Sheraton in the city about 7th Ave.
Right, it was a very good conference. A lot of positive feedback. Like you said, we had people in from Joplin, and their presentation was very good, very informative, and it was beneficial to see how, when you have time to prepare, as the second panel had discussed, and from a fire department perspective, what we did to prepare for the hurricane, from a hospital perspective, moving patients, coordinating that movement, how the hospitals work together to do that, that was really beneficial. That was a very good presentation also.
I was reading on an article. I was on the plane coming home on Saturday, and there was a hospital, I can't remember if internationally or in America, where numerous patients got sick, and I don't know if it was a carbon monoxide or something, but it just resonated about, they actually didn't have a plan of what to do with that. And here we go. It's that constant drilling that you guys do every day, so it's second nature, or it becomes first nature for you. And here we are, still, to this day, it doesn't matter. The words and the preparedness is constantly in the mix.
Well, you have to continue to drill and prepare for any type of emergency, whether it be fire or weather-related or anything that presents itself. Ironically, on Friday morning, there happened to be a fatal fire in India, a fatal hospital fire in which I believe the final count was 89 people died at a fire, a hospital fire in India. And, they had already brought six people up on negligent homicide charges. So, that really resonated throughout the crowd, and most of the attendees were already aware of that.
Right. To talk about, you have people from different, everybody's got, professional stories, and then you have, like you just said, what I find kind of ironic was Brian Williams, if you were there to speak for him, he's a Jersey guy. He was also a volunteer fireman for numerous years. I don't know if he spoke about that, but...
No, he did. He's actually an honorary battalion chief with the New York City Fire Department. He gave a very good presentation. Unbeknownst to me, he actually started his career out in Joplin, so there was a relationship there, and he knew, and he actually covered the tornado out there, and he knew the streets, and he had a personal, relationship with what happened out there, which was really, really brought it home.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And he seems like a really good guy.
I mean, he is. He's a very nice gentleman. A very good speaker, quite the entertainer, and really brought a lot to the conference itself.
So we still got some minutes because I know you're on right now. You're in the house, but some of the bullet points, that some of the things that we talked about, what your objectives were when you're going to have the conference, and now it's afterwards. What are some of the things that the city took out of, and what do you think some of the other people took out of from the city?
Well, I think just highlighting certain aspects that would make hospitals safer. Like we had mentioned, sprinklers, having hospitals be fully sprinkled, that's not right now that's a requirement for newly constructed hospitals, not for ones existing, unless they have a certain amount of renovation. Having an eligible person, meet the emergency responders as they come in, to provide them with vital information so they can deal with the emergency. There are certain systems out there. Technology has really made the industry safer, and the recommendation was to utilize certain technologies to help with that, such as patient tracking and evacuations and things of that nature. There was a lot of positive feedback. The attendees were quite pleased with what we presented them, and we'll see if it happens next year.
Yeah. Now, when we talked about, one of the things we just talked about last time was, an old mentality of thinking, this is my building, I know how to run this, you guys are visitors in my building. Was there more of an openness to those types of discussions?
Well, one of the initiatives the fire department has taken on in New York City is to partner more with and drill more with the local area hospitals. So we are building relationships with everyone, with all the hospitals that we deal with. And in building a relationship, there are some, bumps in the road, but it can only become more positive.
Yeah. Because one of the numbers that was, I thought was really surprising, and I'm sure it's to the listeners, but was it 2,800 hospital calls for that?
On average, we respond to about 350. That may be for me.
Oh, boy.
Yes, it is.
All right, Chief.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. Sorry, I got to go.
No problem. I'll catch up with you soon, all right? You're on Thursday night. I'll see you Friday.
All right.
I'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
So, thanks, Chief, for the few minutes. That was kind of cool. But I, doing that follow up, and so the carbon. So that article I was reading about was, I think, I'm pretty sure it was domestic. I think it was around here, but then I forgot all about the people in India. And you know what? They're a democratic society, but there's still plenty of plenty of old structures out there. I see it pretty frequently, as well as my counterparts and my competitors, if you will. They see it too. It makes for doing after the first responders, God forbid, there's an illegal apartment. There's always faulty wiring. People always think they can jump from apartment to apartment, and you see it more in the urban areas. But some of the things you see on the residential single family dwelling homes is you get involved in not so much a fire, but because that's an easy thing to look at after, the electrical is always looked at. You always want to safe off the panel and mega test and so on and so forth, which my buddy Danny from Academy Electric, who's a good friend and also a friend of the program, has taught me over the years. But what you see is what we encounter a lot, and any good restoration company will do this. My plug-in, I'm plugging right here, so bear with me here. Any good restoration company will, after taking some of these wet building materials down, they have to acknowledge and bring all parties involved to electrical faulty issues. There's the bad workmanship, there's the overloading of panels, and outlets and things like that. And I'm hoping to have a newfound friend of mine, the chief from the Teaneck Fire Department, and there's a multicultural town, and different types of religions, I should say. And the religions there, it kind of expands from, pretty, I think it starts next week with the Jewish holidays, runs through the Christian, then we have other denominations with holidays. And there's different types of celebrations, and there's different types of lighting and candles. And it's one of his challenges is to get to those communities. It sounds like I know the chief just got off the line with me. We're talking about partnering to prevent tragedy. It's also another part of prevent tragedy. They were talking primarily with the hospitals, which is key. But always that outreach program. And Lieutenant Steve Linder from the Hackensack Fire Department talks about it. He's the PI, the public information officer, and Teaneck has one. We only have a few paid departments in the county, but obviously the volunteer departments do just the same due diligence work as the paids. By getting that information out, that's why they have the open houses. And so this time of year gets a little dicey because observing certain religions and having candles and certain lighting and then you have family over and you have a lot of people in the home, and children are roughhousing and things like that. I've seen in the past, and some of my competitors and some of the guys I used to work with have their own stories of holiday disasters, if you will, with the candles and the lighting and the overloading of electrical outlets. So we got to pound it into everybody's head. I've had the dry trees. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I've had some of those. I've had a couple of them in the city. Thank God it was on these pre-World War II buildings, where generally those fires are contained with inside the room because the structure construction is a little different. It's the masonry and the plaster and such like that, which is really good containing. I know drywall has that 2-hour burn rate, but those other rooms are actually very very productive because it sucks out all that oxygen. But I'm not a fire science, but just from observation over the years. We get 25 after the hour. We'll do a quick break because my next guest, we have a lot to cover. He's got a lot of information, and I think it's going to be informative, and also higher education of the emergency management field. I'll be right back.
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do now? next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Katie Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO Show with Katie Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time. Exploring what is possible, examining what is logical. Could we really be here all alone?
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
The holidays are here. Start shopping for stuff. Bring the stuff home, wrap the stuff, wonder if it's the right stuff. Get insecure about the stuff. Put stuff in closets, put stuff in drawers. This year, the American Red Cross encourages you to take a break from all of this stuff and do something that means something. Provide the gift of hope, help, and compassion to someone who needs it most. Visit redcross.org today.
There's the finger from Dave. It means we're up and rolling again. WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m., I am your host, Chris Plunkett. You can see my mug on my website. I definitely have a radio face, but that's just between me and myself. I like the transition from one side of the FDNY to the other side, which is the medical side. My guest today, calling in from Long Island, Abraham Levinson. He's Emergency Service Administrator, Program Coordinator at the University College of Adelphi University out there on the island. Ari, how are you doing?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been a week since I was on the radio, and I didn't realize how much I missed it. But let me give you you can go to the website drhradio.net, and there's Avery's photograph and his background. FDNY. He was EMT for what, 20 years?
Well, you know, December will be my 20th anniversary as a paramedic in New York State. I worked for the fire department before getting injured. I was there for about 13 years, and I got out as a EMS captain. I was a commanding officer of a station in the South Bronx. And throughout my tenure with the New York City Fire Department, I played lots of roles. I was in their hazardous materials unit, as a lieutenant, a patrol lieutenant in Queens, administrative lieutenant, and then finally getting promoted to the rank of captain, running a station in the South Bronx.
Well, hopefully I know you live in the island. Hopefully you're not a Met fan and you're a Yankee fan.
Working in the Bronx as long as I did, I didn't have a choice. I was indoctrinated to the Yankee club.
All right, then we can continue with the conversation. But now, Avery, you were talking about, you know, you got hurt in the job, and you're still a very young man, and this is kind of cool the way you were describing it to me yesterday, because I just got back on Saturday, so I was playing catch up by about 10 pounds and 3 pound bag prior to the show, because we always talked about on the volunteer side, you know, my past guests. But there is a very large movement, and I want you to further, obviously, because you have a lot of stuff, which we can't cover all today, and we're going to follow up with some of the things you have in the pipeline at another future show. But there's a lot of traction you guys are getting, especially at Adelphi, regarding emergency management as a degree. And, you know, I know DHS has certifications. Tell me about that.
Well, sure. What we did at Adelphi was Fireman. 2005-2006, we decided there was a need for a graduate certificate in emergency management, that the need had arrived for a comprehensive graduate certificate in emergency management in the Long Island area. And from that, we evolved into turning it into a undergraduate program in emergency services administration, a graduate certificate in emergency management, and a master's degree in emergency management. And we launched that in 2007. We've beta tested it. We've had our graduates. Now we're ready to really launch that program full force and get the word out that there are alternatives in the metropolitan area, aside from the other colleges that are offering it. We're offering a really comprehensive program to help the future leaders of the emergency management and emergency services industry be prepared to go out there
and do their job and have all the tools in their toolbox to be successful in their career.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the toolbox. I like the analogy because I use it on my side. You know, I'm on the private side after you guys, the first responders, I leave whatever it be the EMTs or the fire or police or you know whichever, because I'm always coming in after the fact. And as I always say, you know, well, they say, well, can you do this and you can do that? And I there is the proverbial toolbox. I do, you know, you have guys with different disciplines and things like that. And that's what I took a peek at this, the programming, and it offers a wider range, but it also is it's helpful in as you retired and then you said, to what do I want to do further with my career? And this was out there. But there's also, you can do it on a part-time basis. There's many ways in order to get these degrees.
Sure, and the great thing about the program is, and especially the economy is going right now, public sector hiring has slowed down. But our program is applicable to the private sector as well. If you look at business continuity and continuity of operations in the private sector and recovery, that's a huge emerging field in the private sector. And our program realizes that. And not to say that our designers were visionaries, but I guess there's no better term. They realized that there's a need for business continuity and the emergency services industry in and of itself in the private sector. So we've incorporated that. When our graduates get out, they can go either into the public sector or the private sector and be extremely successful.
Now, do a lot of guys who are retiring, are they amping up or taking a look at further education? I mean, they have the field stuff. You had the field work. Now you're getting the X's and O's, if you will.
Right. Well, you know, if you look back at the field probably about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and I'm sure you've been in the field long enough to realize this, in the past, usually the public safety people and the fire safety people were all retired, either police officers or firefighters or any type of public sector, and they got employed based solely on their experience. What's happening now is the job market's demanding better educated employees. The job market being as competitive as it is, employers are realizing that they can hire somebody with a college degree who can be more valuable to the agency. So that's what they're looking for. And also in the public sector, the public sector is realizing that educated employees are better employees.
Right.
You know, if you look at the New York City Police Department, the requirements for college, for entry, and for promotion, the New York City Fire Department is going along the same way with the requirements for college, for promotion. I think the trend right now, and it's not going to change, is the demand for the employees, especially in supervisory roles, to have college educations, to have at least a bachelor's degree, and preferably an advanced degree.
Right. You know, it's in our age of, you know, the ACP, the Associated Contingency Planners, and that's where, you know, our good friend Andy Weitzberg is the president out there on the island. But, you know, prior to 9/11, there was continuity, but it was always more of my understanding and my class conferences that I've attended was always an IT-driven contingency plan. It was never multifaceted the way it is now. I mean, when I go to a job, and you know, if it's a commercial job, and I say to this person, you know, well, did you do this and this with your insurance company? Because do you have business interruption? You know, because you know any business could be easily out 3 to 6 months. And you know, or do some of the smaller smaller companies or the moms and pops, they're starting to get that information from the ACPs and also the FEMAs and SBA about having a plan in place so they can be back in business quicker. And this is just resonating that whole situation.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you look at businesses that recovered after the World Trade Center disaster, more than half just failed and weren't able to reopen. And if you look at the current trend, businesses without a plan, they're just not able to recover post-disasters. Disasters become more frequent, more expensive. There's that need for the continuity. There's that need for businesses to come up with their own individual IAP or contingency plan of how they're going to deal with these emergencies.
Right. Speaking about dollars, I mean, we topped out, you know, we talked about it, you know, $1 billion. And this year is the most expensive in the history of losses, claims, disasters, catastrophes. and that includes, not the United States and worldwide. That is big, big money. I mean, listen, tsunamis, you're not going to fight a 40-foot wall of water. but you know, not having you know off-site record keeping to have a satellite office or even incidents in a plant where you know unfortunately it's more frequent with the economy the way it is. You have nut job employees coming in and hurting their fellow employees, and the plant gets shut down. What do you have in place for there? So that's what you know. That's one of the eye-opening things I have seen, and I'm very fortunate to understand is the ACP end of it has helped to really my business. If you just joined us, a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2. WVNJ 1160. On the phone today is Abraham Levinson, FDNY medical responder for 13 years, got hurt in the job, but you're also now the Emergency Service Administrative Program Coordinator at the University College at Adelphi, which is out on the island. We get lots of listeners and comments coming out from the island, so that's a good thing. And you were talking about before, when you talk about first responders or you talk about law enforcement, you always talk about John Jay, but now Adelphi is stepping right in there.
Well, sure. We're providing that alternative. And not to knock John Jay. John Jay's an excellent program.
No, yeah, exactly.
That being said, I think our program is top-notch. I mean, we really designed our program. The creators of the program were not only academics, but they were responders as well. Our dean of nursing was an EMT for years, went through nursing school, got his doctorate. Very into the fire field, volunteer firefighter on Long Island. Our academic director is very involved with FEMA. He's an epidemiologist for a disaster medical assistance team in New York State.
Wow.
So, and our professors as well. I mean, I'm always out there recruiting professors who not only can talk the talk and not only have the academic background, but I think it's more credible when they've walked the walk as well.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you there. And you know what? People like that, you know. I always equate it to, like, coaching. You know, I'll break it down real simple. Is you know your coach? Did he play? Did your coach play? And you know, so you're going to take, you absorb, you'll listen. A guy who's going to just you know, I read it in a playbook. I went on the internet, and here's how we're going to run this play. I'm breaking it down real simple, but it is that Americans like to walk and talk the talk without a doubt. You know, show you know we'll do the old Missouri show me state. That's definitely where we're our mentality, especially in our region.
Right. If you look at, I mean, just get back to basic planning for emergency response. If you look at protective action recommendations, when you want somebody out there to give the warning or the announcement or explain what's going on, the people that are most credible are the people that are doing the job that not only have the academic background, but the police commissioner, the fire commissioner, or the fire chief. Now, nobody wants the National Weather Service to explain what the fire is going to do.
Right.
They prefer a fire chief in the public's view that fire chief is more credible.
Yeah.
The same way that if I was to issue a protective action recommendation about a weather emergency, I don't know how credible I would be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for those people that not only walk the walk, but talk the talk. We're looking for a strong academic background and a strong experience to be able to deliver the program.
Yeah, you know, one of my guests that I've had on a couple times, Lieutenant Steve Lindner, the Safety Academy, and they're constantly going back and getting continuing education and expanding. It's they do the whole. There's a good friend of mine who's retired state police, and you know, we our region is pretty much a very hazardous region in the world. I mean, we are a big bullseye, and you know the way the people like yourselves and the city and Jersey and Western. When I'm encompassing, you know, pretty much 100-mile radius because we're all in this together here. And I always say there's not enough. We don't talk enough about the planning that is going on. Mutual aid towns, you know, doing mutual aid exercises, and I see it on you know after the fact because I'm coming in to do a you know I'm doing a paid job, but there is a tremendous amount of planning and drilling, and you know that's all field, and it gets complemented with the degrees and education you guys are providing.
Sure, and I just want to bring it back to something you mentioned about the state troopers and the volunteer firefighters. Always going back to that professional development and continuing education. One of the things that we realized with our program when we created it was that those programs are accredited. A lot of those programs have been reviewed by either ACE or what used to be PONCE, is now the National Credit Curriculum. All these programs carry some credit weight, and somebody that's done 10 or 15 or 20 years on service with their professional development should be rewarded or acknowledged for what professional development and training they did And we acknowledge that here. And that's who we're looking for. I mean, really, that's the demographic that we're looking for our undergraduate degree. We're looking for that mid-level or that firefighter, police officer, volunteer firefighter that's done all the professional training and all the professional development, and they're looking to further their career.
Mm.
And we acknowledge that, and we'll take those transcripts, and we'll look at them, and we'll award as much credit as possible. There's a lot of credit out there to be earned, and we recognize that.
Mm.
So we take those credits and we build that into the degree. So all that work you did, is all the work that they did, that's for professional development, the training, the academy, doesn't go to waste. It we legitimize it a little bit on the transcript towards their degree.
Yeah, you know, instead of starting fresh like you're a freshman, you know, your 20 years meant something, and that always leads me into the local volunteer guys. You can't put a price tag in, and you know stip it for clothing or a couple hundred bucks. I mean, that's the least of our problems. I mean, when we're wasting millions on how much to pave a road, and it's in the millions for 1 mile. I mean, then I think those are the numbers that need to be reevaluated, not the guy who's volunteering going out at 2 o'clock in the morning, and also with our professionals, it's. But talk to me. You know what? Let's go to a quick break, and I want to talk about some of that stuff that we talked about earlier about the future. You got some things that you're putting into the pipeline.
Sure,
we'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Sergeant Jason Nielsen served his country as an MP in Iraq.
I was in Iraq for 10 months before I was hit by that sniper.
He suffered a paralyzing injury, ending his military service. Paralyzed veterans of America's National Service Officers, such as Sherita Latham, are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned.
She worked with my wife, took care of everything for me just so I could focus on just recovery and trying to get on with life.
To learn more, visit pva.org.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome back. I was checking out the screen. Disaster Recovery Hour. Chris Plunkett. I am your host, WVNJ. We're talking about the further education programs at Adelphi and in the emergency management. And tell me the difference, if there is. You know, I know there's DHS has accreditations. Are they similar to that, or are they cross reference? How was that? And security, if people wanted to know what I was talking about.
Well, you know, what we are, we're a degree program. We're on the list of FEMA's higher education partners. All our programs have been reviewed by them, and we're listed on their website as options for people looking to get their degrees in emergency management, emergency services administration. I think there's a difference between certification and a degree path. I think employers look at the difference. While certifications could be required as a condition of employment, nobody's going to take away a degree from you. I mean, we're talking about 120-plus credits geared towards putting all the tools in your toolbox to make you a successful manager in the emergency management emergency services field. The International Association of Emergency Managers offers a certification in emergency management, an associate in emergency management. All those certifications are very valuable, but nothing replaces having a comprehensive college education, a university-level education in the field. We don't just deal with, we don't just cover emergency management topics. It's a liberal arts-based degree, so we talk about psychology and the business aspect, mm-hmm. and writing. So we cover all of it. It's more than just a certification class. Mm-hmm. It's a comprehensive university-level program.
And, you know, the psychological end of disasters is you know, a behind-the-scenes wound. You know, the wound that you don't really see, and it just rears its ugly head every time something. Obviously, it triggers a reminder, and that's a huge part of your guys' type of field, the first responders, and on the insurance end of it, you know, you get the aftermath of, you know, the homes are wiped out, people are displaced, and that's one of the things I always thought was didn't get enough credit. Was the emotional end of it, of how to handle some of the people, because it's traumatic. I mean, you've seen it firsthand. You know, I see it a little further down the road, but I can imagine that's the integral part of that program.
Sure, you know, and it's true that the psychological wounds that aren't visible immediately don't heal as quickly as the physical wounds. We can rebuild the structure, we can rebuild the person, but the psychological wounds take years to heal. We're seeing that. The responders from September 11th, mm-hmm. to the post-traumatic stress disorder, mm-hmm. A lot of psychological issues are arising out of that from our first responders. We're seeing that from our heroes overseas fighting on our behalf in Afghanistan, right. and Iraq, coming back with psychological injuries. It's a huge aspect of the field, and you can't compare some of the jobs that the first responders do with combat. Mm-hmm. And the psychological wounds are very important and understanding that. And that's one of the things that we're looking at right now is we're trying to get a symposium together to discuss the psychological aspects with our School of Social Work. We're partnering with all the different schools on campus to form a comprehensive program where we educate the students in all aspects of the field.
Yeah, I think, and you know, for firsthand, I mean, you're out there. I mean, I'm sure you have your own police department out at Adelphi, and that there's just so many students, and there's you get kind of, I guess some of the kids just get caught in the masses and the numbers, and they're isolated, and it could be a lonely experience, and if they've had some form of mental trauma throughout their lives, you know, whether it's, you know, people like coming up from Katrina that now live in Houston, you know, 5 years, 10 years later, I mean, what would they might experience that, you know, boom, there's no outlet for them, and there's no emergency administrator program like yourselves, like you guys have Adelphi, that are being offered, or they might be in the infancy stage of it, but a needed thing. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, we all about hugging and things like that, but you know, the awareness is key.
Oh, without a doubt, and we have a very proactive public safety department. They're in the process of developing a campus version of the SHIRT program to train the students to be prepared for emergencies and disasters and to assist both public safety and emergency responders in times of disaster. We had a huge rollout when Irene came in. Our public safety department did a phenomenal job with an incredible plan of how to manage it, because it occurred right around freshman check-in time.
Oh, right. In fact, I think we had some issues with some of my friends. They couldn't check in because it was here. Right.
What do we do with the students that are here? What do we do with the students that are coming in? And what do we do with our vendors? And our public safety department's incredibly proactive. And the CERT program that they're going to be rolling out, all the students that are involved in the Emergency Services Administration program are more than welcome to join and take part of, avail themselves of the training. Our students, although we're University College of the Delphi, we're at Delphi University. We're all one college, one campus. The students in our program are welcome to partake in any activity on campus. What's even better is our program can be done entirely online. I have a student right now who's telecommuting, for lack of a better term, or web commuting, from Tennessee. So we can do our program anywhere in the country, anywhere in the United States. If somebody wants to be involved in our program and get the degree through Adelphi, they're more than welcome. We can do that. We can accommodate them. And if the student feels that they do better in a traditional learning setting, we could do that as well. We have classes on campus, and the students on campus, or all students, period, are full. They want to take in a lacrosse game. They're more than welcome to the student tickets for a lacrosse game. We have a great lacrosse team. We have a huge library, a public arts center. So we avail our students to everything available on campus for the full college experience.
Av, let me ask you a question. I mean, we still have some minutes to go, but I want to pound this a few times before we leave. How does somebody look this information up?
Sure. You know, the easiest way, well, there are two ways. You can look on our webpage. It's if you want to Google search University College at Delphi University or Emergency Services Administration at Delphi University. The easiest way, though, is to just get a hold of me. You can give me a call at 516-877-3431. That's 516-877-3431. Or email me. It's A. Levinson, L-E-V-I-N-S-O-N. At adelphi.edu. I am the program coordinator. I will be your advisor throughout the program. You'll be dealing with me and only me. We are in the top five in the country for customer service, and that's why I was brought in, to walk the students through the program. So if they want to get a hold of me via email or phone, I'll be more than happy to discuss the program with them.
Yeah, and we have that intel, that information is on the our website, the DRH Radio .net website. Also, we have that new barcode. If you wanted to take a picture, if you have that app on a smartphone, you can take a picture. The QR code and all that stuff. You take a picture. If you can't look at it now, you'll see Ara's information, his history, all his contact information. So moving forward, we talked about some of the acknowledgments the Adelphi has with this program, and you're getting partnered up with some other agencies. Is it with the departments in the city, or?
We're partnering up with the New York City Fire Department and Police Department to offer their members advanced standing upon enrollment, and we're listed on both their websites and in their bulletins, their training bulletins. What we're doing also now is we're looking to complete, and that's one of the projects I'm working on, a fast-track program for police officers, firefighters, paramedics who have advanced standing, who have credits. A paramedic is walking out of a paramedic program with 40 credits to be put somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The New York City Police Department graduates their recruits with 36 credits. So I'm in the process of designing a fast-track program for them to push them through with an advanced standing. When they come in with that prior learning, they're saving a lot of time and money getting that degree. They're coming in ahead of the game. They're not coming in as our freshmen. We're looking to partner right now with some of the certification groups for business continuity to offer their programs on campus that lead to certification for credit. So they can come here, take the training program, get credits towards their degree, and then if they choose, they can sit for the certification exam. Another thing we're working on is developing partnerships with healthcare institutions and allied health programs to develop fast-track programs for them into our program. It's just an expanding field, and we recognize that there are plenty of professionals out there that have tons of training that need to be put towards a degree, or that can be put towards a degree through prior learning.
Mm. Well, we got 4 minutes to roll, and we got a couple of questions for you from the website. Claire is addressing the psychological wounds of first responders is absolutely necessary to discuss and bring to the forefront. I completely agree with you, Claire. Ara, you're 100% behind that. Claire, if you wanted to go in past shows, Steve Cremendo is a psychological profiler and first responder psychiatrist. He was downtown through the beginning, and he was stationed downtown. Like I said, he was with the FBI at that point. So, Claire, if you wanted to listen to that program, but Steve will be coming on. I think it's February or March. we're trying to bring in some of those real important issues back in, back into the fold. So our other question is from Leanne: are the aftermath issues being treated as PTSD, I guess post-traumatic stress disorder? So some of the things, is Adelphi look into that, or is it more of a 101 thing?
Well, when we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder and the after effects, what we're teaching our students is to look at it and to understand the concept of it. You know, you'd have to look to the school of social work or psychology or psychologists to actually treat it. Does post-traumatic stress disorder exist? I think it would be hard for it to find somebody to disprove it. We know for a fact that our first responders do suffer from that. We know that as a result of the studies being done out of 9/11 for the firefighters and police officers.
Mm-hmm.
We address in a different route. We teach our students in the program. They do an introduction to psychology, so they understand the aspects of the wounds that not only the first responders feel, but also that the civilian population go through. Post-traumatic stress disorder really isn't just limited to first responders.
The fortunate thing was I was to help work for another company, and I was able to help downtown. I would work primarily in Battery Park City, and still see people today when I get a little work down there, and the neighborhood is obviously beautifully thriving and surviving, and I can see familiar faces, and it's a nice thing along those lines. But yes, there's plenty of civilians who. Well, we all know that. I'm not going to talk about that. For me, that is, I don't think it's my right to. I didn't have that much that experience like that. But, Av, I appreciate you taking time. I know you guys got a busy schedule out there. I will be on the island next week. We got to go out to Ronkonkoma, see some of Vinny and Kevin about a service master issue. But if you're around, I'll get you on your cell, and maybe I can swing by.
That sounds great, Chris. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
No.
It's a great program. We really appreciate you letting us be a part of it.
No, without a doubt, and I will constantly pound out this intel, without a doubt. Aaron, have a good rest of the week. Remember, go to the website. His information, all his information, his contact information is on the site. I was away last week. Little light on the traffic. Plenty of theartradio.net. We got plenty of action you guys can talk about and give me questions and so on and so forth. Overriding, listen, I know we're getting out of Iraq at the end of the month. I don't know about that one. That thing looks like it's going to blow up again. That's this guy's opinion. But God bless our country. Let's bring home our troops and be safe, and we'll talk to you next week. See you later.